My name is Brad Bertelson, and it's a great pleasure and blessing to be able to be here and share God's Word with you guys. I think it's just really good for the people of God to get together and worship and pray and discuss Scripture and hear Scripture. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And so I want to start and to say just a bit about myself. Like I said, my name is Brad, and I'm a kind of a missionary. I work with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I work with college students. And I have a group of staff that I oversee, and we have student ministries on a bunch of campuses in Utah and southern Idaho. And that's what I've been doing for the past 20-some years. And I'm a father and a husband, and I have three kids, and two of the three are here. And my wife, Shelley, is sitting there. And so most of you guys, some of you guys know us, but anyway, that's just a little bit about who I am. One thing you may not know about me is that I love fly fishing. And that's my favorite hobby. And I got to go fishing up in the Uintas a couple days ago and caught some really nice trout, and that was really, really fun. Thank you, sir. Did you get one? You need one. Why? Because you're a man. You need one too? Okay. We're going to use this in just a minute. So, Nate, this is your card. All right. So, each of you should have been given a copy of the text. So I know you have your own Bibles, and feel free, absolutely free, to use your own Bible. But I always bring copies of the text for smaller groups, because then if someone doesn't have their Bible, everyone can follow along. And this happens to be the NIV, and so you can use whatever translation you use. That's totally great. I'm using the NIV. So John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30 says this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, let me stop, again. So if you look back in chapter 7, Jesus has gone up to Jerusalem, and he's at the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, which is one of the major Jewish holidays celebrated in Jerusalem. So Jesus has gone up to Jerusalem, and he's in the temple. This is about partway through the week of celebration of the Festival of Booths. And he's been talking to these guys, and now he's addressing these religious leaders, these Jewish leaders, again at this big major festival. Okay, so that's where it says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and I know where I am going. But you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and my Father, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he, Jesus, said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you exalt yourself and be glorified this morning through the sharing of your word, through this time of fellowship together. Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes and our hearts and our minds that we might learn from you. Lord, may your word be a light to our souls, to our spirits. God, would you give us insight and understanding. Would you teach us what it means to be your followers and to follow you, not just in thought, but in action. Jesus, would you be the center, the focus here? Lord, we just entrust this time to you, that you will be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I have given each of you a fancy Dan little card and a pencil. So I want you to do something for me real quick. So there's a really interesting question that comes in this text. About two-thirds of the way through, these religious leaders said to Jesus, "Who are you?" And that's a really profound question. It's a simple little question, but it's a profound question. Who are you? And so I want you to answer that question on this little card. Don't put your name on it, all right? Because I'm not interested in who wrote it, right? But when I ask the question, who are you? I'm not asking what is your name. I'm asking, who are you? And so what I want you to do is on your little card, write three words or short phrases that for you best describe who you are or explain who you are. Does that make sense? So whatever that looks like for you, just take a minute and write down three words or phrases, short phrases, that answers this, that gets at this question of who are you? Not like who are we in general as people, but who is Hannah Bertelsen, right? Who is Paul Giro? If someone came up and said, Paul, who are you? And you had to answer it and say three words or three short phrases, what would you say? So go ahead and take a minute and write those down. And I know this is easier said than done. Okay, you done? Everybody done? It's hard, huh? Such a simple little question. Hey now. Okay, are you done? I'm going to go ahead and start collecting cards from those people that have finished. Cool. Isn't it amazing? Has anyone ever asked you that question? Usually we say, what's your name or what do you do, right? But we seldom get asked the question, who are you? Yeah? Okay. So that's good. All right, so I'm just going to kind of quickly read through some of these. Of course, they're kind of anonymous. And we'll just get a feel for what people said, okay? Shuffle them up. Okay, pick a card. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, daughter of the king, part of a royal priesthood, a child of God, a born-again sinner. Another one, I am happy, loved, appreciated. I am a child of God, a servant, a friend. I am a daughter of the king, a music lover. I am vivacious. Follower of Christ, to try to serve. I'm a sinful man? Question mark. Let me just clarify. Yes, you're a sinful man. A child of God, a sinner, forgiven, a work in progress, a sinner, a believer, a lover of God, a child of God, an extrovert, child of God, a servant, child of God, wife, a mom. Child of God, thoughtful person, sinner. I'm loyal, determined, love God. Loyal and faithful to family and God. I am the Father's daughter. I don't know. kind, loving, quiet, daughter of God, a dancer, and someone who loves people. So it's a really interesting question, right? Who am I? Who are you? And one of the things that I love about this passage is this passage talks a lot about the identity of Jesus. See, in our society, in our culture, in our world, we get our identity from all kinds of things. I mean, it's really interesting. If you just went out on the street and just asked people, who are you? Just see what they'd say. A lot of their answers, they answer by saying, oh, I'm a teacher. Or I'm a dentist. Or I'm a mom, right? It's like what their occupation is. Or they'll say, I'm a liberal. Or I'm a libertarian. Or I'm a conservative. Might come from their politics or their family roles, right? Like, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I'm a child, I'm a fifth. Like I sometimes joke, I'm the fifth of six children, right? And I see some of you guys laughing. Cause, anyways, or hobbies, right? Who am I? I'm a basketball player. I'm a fisherman, right? Or the things that are similar to hobbies, the things they love. Sometimes people's identity comes from their nationality, right? Well, I'm an American. Or sometimes I say I'm a Norwegian-American, kind of joking, right? But for a lot of people, their identity is wrapped up in their nationality. Or similar to that is their ethnicity, right? I'm Latino, I'm Asian-American, or I'm African. And so their identity is wrapped up in their ethnicity. Another one would be education. Oh, I'm Dr. Paul Giroux, right? I mean, You ever notice some people, they love to say their titles, even when they're just introducing themselves. Their identity is wrapped up in their education. Some people, their identity is wrapped up in their appearance, right? Some people have a really high value on their appearance and how they look, because that's really important to them in their identity. For others, it's their identity is wrapped up in their ministry or in their calling. I'm a pastor, I'm a missionary, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Others, their identities has a lot to do with what they perceive to be their destiny, right? Like now we're in the political campaigns, right? And I'm so-and-so, the next president of the United States of America, right? I mean, that's their identity, right? Hillary Clinton wants to be the next president, and Donald Trump wants to be the next president. And that's a lot of their identity. Social status, right? Oh, I'm poor. I'm wealthy, I'm middle class, or physical attributes, right? I'm muscular, oh, I'm overweight, or I'm skinny, or I'm tall, or I'm short. And last but not least, and you alluded to this, for a lot of people, their identity is wrapped up in how many Facebook friends they have. You know, and it just cracks me up because I work with college students, and it just kills them that I have more Facebook friends than most of them. And they just can't conceive of how this 52-year-old white guy has more Facebook friends than them. Of course, the longer you live, the more people you know. I mean, it's just that. But it's funny, right? Because people will sometimes determine how they feel about themselves by how many people like something they put on Facebook, right? They put a comment or they wrote something or a photo of themselves. It's like, oh, only three people liked it and nobody commented. Oh, man. You know? And it affects the way they feel about themselves. Or, wow, I put up this comment. Look, I've got 1,200 likes and 65 comments. Wow, I feel great. It's like, that's weird. But it, right? We know people like that. Like, the whole way they feel about life depends on their Facebook status. So it's an interesting thing. So we're going to talk today about Jesus' identity in this text. And as a result, we're going to talk about our identity. So, again, like I said, this takes place in the middle of Jesus' ministry. And he's in Jerusalem. He's gone to Jerusalem to participate in the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Booths. And it's where the Jews remember their deliverance out of Egypt. And when they lived in the wilderness all the time, they lived in tents or tabernacles or booths. And so everyone leaves their home. They don't live in their house. And they set up tents and these little booths. And they live in those for the whole week. And they have these celebrations and worship. And they do all these things at the temple. It's a really big festival in the Jewish culture. So what we want to ask the question in this passage is, where does Jesus find his identity? Okay? So I'm going to do something a little unconventional, and some of you guys are going to hate this, I'm just going to warn you, and some of you guys are going to love it. But I think we learn best when we engage in the learning process. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you guys to get in little groups of four. So here's what I want you to do is I want you to read through this text, and here's the question I want you to answer. Where does Jesus find his identity? According to this scripture. Like, so if you, and later I'm going to ask for feedback. And when you say something, I'm going to say, where did you see that in the scripture? Oh, well, right here in this line, it says this. Does that make sense? So the answer should come from the text. So you don't have to be an expert on the Bible. All I have to do is read through this carefully and say, oh, this tells me something about where Jesus gets his identity. Okay, so go ahead and take about 3 or 4 minutes and work on this together as a group. You're to discuss it. And where do you guys see Jesus' identity? Where does he get his identity? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. And you can write on the paper, or you can circle stuff. And then I'm going to ask you guys to share after a little bit. All right. So I know you could probably use a little more time. Did you guys kind of get a chance to go through it once and find stuff? Great. So don't worry. So some of you guys are mortified at the idea that I might call you out and make you talk. I'm not going to. And so I'm just going to ask each group to go around. We'll just share different things that we saw. And so I need someone from each group to at least share a little bit. So don't worry. So this group over here, just tell me what's one of the things you saw where Jesus gets his identity? What's one of the things you saw? Okay, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. Right? He's like, dude, I know what I'm about. I know exactly where I've come from, and I know exactly where I'm going. Right? It's part of who I am. Excellent. Great job, you guys. In the back, share one of the things. What else did you see? Okay, there's a couple of things in there, right? He's like, my judgment's true, so I'm a man of truth, right? But he's also, I'm not alone. I'm with the Father, the Father's with me. All right, that's part of his identity. He's deeply wrapped up in that. You guys, excellent, great job, you guys. What was one of the other things? He said, I came from the Father. What else he said is like where he's from? I'm from above, right? I'm not from below. I'm from above. Very interesting. Great. What about you guys? Just one thing. Okay, there's a bunch in there, right? It's that I'm with the Father with me, I'm not alone. And then he throws in this thing, I always do those things that please him. You know, in our Western culture, especially Americans, we just take this great pride in like, I'm my own man, I do whatever I want. Right? I'm my own woman. Right? And we think that that's the epitome of freedom, is being able to do whatever you want. And here's Jesus. Jesus says, you know what I do? You know what I love to do? I do what pleases the Father. That's pretty, there's a different example for us. Right? It's not, I do whatever I want to do. It's like, I want to do what pleases him. Beautiful. Great. Good job, you guys. Okay, over here. One thing. Oh, very interesting. Very interesting, right? So he identifies as the Father and I are one, which is this is a pretty powerful kind of Trinitarian. It doesn't reference the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is saying, I am God. The Father and I are one. If you knew the Father, you'd know me. If you knew me, you knew the Father. And then he's also refers to himself as the Son of Man. And what's really interesting is in Daniel chapter 7, I think it's verse 14, there's this powerful description of one who is like the Son of Man. And it goes on and it's this amazing description. Sometime you should read it. Daniel chapter 7, I think it's 14. But it's when the Jews heard the idea of the Son of Man, they thought of what Daniel said about the Son of Man. And it's this picture of the Messiah. It's this powerful picture. So Jesus is saying, I'm God. I'm Son of Man. I was born of Mary. You guys know my mom and dad, Joseph and Mary. But I am also the Messiah. Great. Let's go back over here. Oh, we don't want to forget you guys. What did you guys see? They were open. Excellent. Okay, before we wrap this up, does anyone else see something that hasn't been mentioned yet that they want to comment on? Where does Jesus get his identity? Any others that you saw that haven't been mentioned? Shout it out. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. It says, not only do I bear witness to myself that I am Messiah, or I am the One, or I am, he says, but my Father bears witness to these things. Okay, so here's what I kind of did. I synthesized this just a little bit. And we're gonna look at, first of all, gets his identity from his relationship with God. All right. Second of all, where he's from. Thirdly, his character. And fourthly, his purpose. And I'm gonna try and show these things from this text. So it's fascinating. Here's some things that Jesus could have said when it comes to identity. He could have said, "Oh, I'm the oldest son of Joseph and Mary." He didn't say that. He could have said, "I'm a very good carpenter." When they asked him, "Who are you?" right? He didn't say that. He could have said, "I am a 100% Jewish young man." Didn't say that. He could have talked about his social status. He could have talked about his religious devotion. He could have said, "You know, I am a guy that goes to synagogue every week. I go to the temple on a regular basis. I'm a regular worshiper. I give my tithes and offerings." He didn't say any of that, right? He could have talked about his good looks. He could have talked about how muscular he was, his popularity, his strength. He could have talked about his knowledge, his sense of humor. He could have talked about all, but he didn't. So what did he talk about? So first of all, he talks about his relationship with God. He says, "I am the Son of the Father," in verses 16, 18, 19, 28, and 29. I'm the Son of the Father. And my relationship with God, God's with me and I'm with Him. It's this personal and present relationship. That's the second thing under relationship. That's verses 16, verses 29. I'm sorry, 16 and 29. His relationship with his Father is a dependent one. Right? He doesn't talk about being Mr. Independent. He talks about being totally dependent on the Father. We see that in verse 26, 28, and 29. Right? He's like, "I only do what I see the Father doing. I speak what the Father tells me to speak." It's a relationship of dependence. He says that in his relationship with God is that he is sent by God. He says that in verse 16, verse 26, and verse 29. "I'm a sent one." Do you guys know the word apostle just means sent one? So in a sense, Jesus is saying, "I'm an apostle. I'm a sent one." And he's validated by his Father in verse 18. So the primary place of his identity comes from his relationship to God. Secondly, it's where he's from. He says, "I'm not from this world," right? He says, "I am from above." Let me see. Is that 23? Yes. "You," he's speaking to the religious leaders, "are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." That's an amazing statement. I mean, this is no ordinary guy. If someone came to you and said that, you'd think they were crazy. Right? If someone said, "Oh, I'm not from this world. I'm from another world," you'd be like, "Oh, what have you been smoking?" Right? But Jesus says this, and he says it truthfully and with power. He says, "I'm otherworldly. I'm different." Thirdly, it's his character. And like we mentioned a little bit ago, he says, "I speak the truth. I am a person who speaks truth. And the truth is, I am the light of the world. The truth is, I am the I am. The truth is, I am sent by God. The truth is, the Father and I are one. I am in the Father and the Father is in me." And then the fourth thing is his purpose. His identity comes from his purpose. And I love this. This is a beautiful thing, right? His purpose, he says, at the end of the passage, he says, "I always do those things that please him." My desire, my purpose here is to do the will of the Father. I think it's an amazing thing that he elaborates on this. What is his purpose? That's where he goes into this very first line. He says, "I am the light of the world." A couple chapters before, he said, "I am the bread of life." And now he's in the book of John, there are seven I am statements. And this is the second one. "I am the light of the world." Now here's an interesting little tidbit I'm going to share with you guys from a commentary. That's why sometimes studying historical background can be really helpful, and it brings some interesting stuff. So he's at this Feast of Tabernacles. So all the Jews are in Jerusalem celebrating this big national festival of remembering God's deliverance, right? And I didn't know this, but I learned this. So this is pretty cool. A lamp lighting ceremony took place in the temple every evening of the feast. So in the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Feast of the Booths, every night there was a lamp lighting ceremony in the temple, during which large lamps were set up in the court of the women in the temple. The lamp's light, it was said, filled every courtyard in the city. In the light of these lamps, there was great singing and dancing all evening in celebration of God's salvation, especially his deliverance at the Exodus as he led the people with his presence in a pillar of what? Fire, right? Cloud by day, fire by night. What does a pillar of fire do? It gives light, right? In the sight of these great lamps at the court of the women, perhaps even in the evening while they're blazing, Jesus proclaims himself to be the light of the world. That's a pretty cool image. You know, they're at this festival where there's this huge ceremony of lighting lights, and Jesus says to the crowd, he says, you know what? I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will no longer walk in darkness. That's huge. Who says that? Well, Jesus says that. It's part of his purpose. He's come to lead people out of spiritual darkness. This is a really interesting passage because Jesus uses physical, material things to make spiritual applications. So the people he's talking to, these religious leaders, these Pharisees, did they have eyes and could they see? They did, right? Because they had physical eyes and they could see. But Jesus is saying, you're in darkness and you can't see. Because spiritually, you're in darkness. Spiritually, you're blind. And so there's the whole bunch of ways in that Jesus uses physical things to show spiritual realities. So this idea that Jesus is the light of the world reminds us of the Exodus, where God appeared as a pillar of fire by night. Another one, in Isaiah 49:6, there's this word about the Messiah. He says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles. That's a messianic prophecy from the book of Isaiah. Psalm 104 says, the Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. The Lord wraps himself in light. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. Right? So this light imagery is throughout Scripture. And it's always a really positive, life-giving thing. One of the things that's really cool about this is he not only says, I am the light of the world, but this light brings life. Sorry, I got too many pieces of paper here, right? I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So that's the second thing under his purpose. Number one is, I am the light of the world. Number two, I am life. He's not just light, but he gives life, a promise. It's a picture of salvation, and it's a greater salvation than the Jews experienced when they were delivered from Egypt. So Jesus is saying, I've come to give life and light. And then the third thing that he says is, I am he. So we see this there it is. Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. So you notice the word he is in italics, right? And it's that way several times in this text. So if you do a search and you read this text in all the English translations, about a third of them just don't have the word he there. It says, unless you believe that I am. And that's why the he is in italics, because it's kind of implied. But this is a reference to the Old Testament story from Exodus chapter 3. Verse 14, or 13 and 14. So Moses is out in the wilderness, and God calls him and says, Moses, go back to Egypt and deliver my people. And Moses says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And in verse 14, so it's Exodus 3:14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And so when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life, and unless you believe that I am he, or I am, you will die in your sins. So he's speaking to these religious leaders, right? And these are very religious people. Very religious people. And he's saying that they're going to die in their sins unless they accept and believe that he is God. Because by saying, I am, he's saying, I am God. And that's what he said earlier, right? You knew the Father, you know me. We, the Father and I, are one. Okay, so that was his purpose. So we looked at his relationship with God, where he's from, his character, and his purpose. All right? Another thing that we see in this passage, well, actually, I want to stop there. So this is where Jesus gets his identity, from his relationship with God, where he's from, where he's going, his character, and his purpose. So a question for you and me is this. Where do we get our identity? I mean, some of you said, I'm a child of God, right? You nailed that first one right on the head. Your identity is wrapped up in your relationship with God. And as Christians, I think that's how it ought to be. That is our primary source of identity. And I think we live in a cultural time when it's really interesting to hear how people identify, right? They will say things like, I'm a woman, or I'm Latino, or I'm gay, or I'm liberal, or that's how their primary source of identity seems to come from those kind of more peripheral things. But you and I as Christians, right, I think that's something we need to wrestle with. Who am I? Where does my identity come from? And I hope that like it does with Jesus, I hope that it comes from our relationship with God. Okay, just a couple of other little things that we see in this passage. You know, have you ever heard someone say, oh, well, we're all the children of God? Have you ever heard someone say that? Doesn't matter what you believe, we're all the children of God. What would Jesus say about that, according to this passage? What's that? Yeah. Because if you don't believe that he is Messiah, then whose child are you? According to Jesus, I mean, this is brutal. He says, therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And then, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Where does he say that you're from the devil? So I'm sorry, if you read on a little farther, they say, well, we're the children of Abraham. We're the sons of God. He's like, no, you're not. You're the sons of your father, the devil. Well, so that comes in the next passage. I'm sorry, I don't know why, but in my mind, that was part of this one. It's in verse 39. You want to read it for us? Okay. That's good. But you're of your father, the devil. So people love to say, oh, we're all the children of God. Well, Jesus would say that's not true. And the other thing people say is, well, as long as you're religious and sincere, you'll be fine. Like, you'll go to heaven. But that's not what Jesus says here. He says, unless you believe, if you do not believe that I am he, that I am God, that I am the Savior, you will die in your sins. And of course, dying in your sins means you're lost. Because if there's sin in your life, you'll be separated from God. And another last interesting little tidbit is that verse 28, when Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, he's talking to these religious leaders, then you will know that I am he. So when it talks about lifting up the Son of Man, it's talking about his crucifixion. So when the Son of Man is crucified, then they will know that he is God, he is the Savior, he is Messiah. So So those are some interesting things in this passage. And you guys can continue studying this passage. But I think what I wanted us to wrestle with is, one, who is Jesus' identity? What is Jesus' identity? And where does he get it? Where do we get our identity? And we should really think about that. Who am I? Who am I? Am I who Facebook says I am? Am I who our popular culture says I am, or the media says I am? Or am I who God says I am? And then in way of application, I think it's just fascinating how Jesus lives this amazingly dependent relationship on his Father. And he sums it up by saying, I only do what I see the Father doing. I always do those things that please him. What guides your life and my life as a Christian? Is it to do what I want to do? To do what others tell me want to do, to do? Or is it my joy and my pleasure to do what pleases God? And I think that if we could live as men and women and young people saying, I just want to please God, we will find tremendous freedom and liberty in that. The world would tell us, oh, religion is oppressive and being a Christian is oppressive. It's like, if you live in relationship with Christ and you live to please God, so you're loving God, you're loving your neighbor, you're loving your enemies, you're serving people, and you're living for Christ, I think in that is fulfillment and life and freedom. And I think that's what the scripture would say. The world looks and says, you guys are nuts. And we're like, this is how Jesus lived. He lived to please his Father. And I think that's God's invitation to us. Find our identity in him and live to please him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this amazing text and who you are. How you came and you gave of yourself to rescue us. That you're self-sacrificing. That you come as a servant to rescue those who have rejected you. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering us, for giving us life and giving us light, for leading us out of darkness and giving us the ability to see. Lord, I pray that you would keep us from falling into the same traps and snares as these religious people that Jesus was addressing, God, but that we would walk in humility and that our heart's desire would be to serve and to follow you and to please you in all things. Jesus, we can't do that without you. Holy Spirit, would you fill us? Holy Spirit, would you give us the ability and the desire to please you? Because I confess, Lord, that I'm self-centered, I'm selfish. I want to please myself. Would you deliver me and deliver us from ourselves and turn us into men and women and young people who live to please you? Lord, we give you thanks for these good things in Jesus' name. Amen.